Welcome, SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Scott Jackson along with Mike Prada from Bullets Forever and the editor of SB Nation DC. And got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk Indianapolis Combine with Mike Jones. We'll talk about the Bullets.
Mike Jones. Who?
For the Bullets wheeling and dealing. I mean, the Wizards wheeling and dealing.
You got the right name.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, we'll check in spring training with Ben Gessling down in Vieira, Florida as well. And first, though, tough break, literally, this week for one of the area's top hoops teams, the Georgetown Hoyas, with Chris Wright breaking his hand the other day.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a really big loss. And it just stinks because he was a senior.
Yep.
He's been here all 4 years. He's been through a lot of stuff. I mean, he was here when they were terrible that one year. He was here when they were very good and then lost in the first round. I mean, I think it's just a really rough break. No pun in pun, very much intended, actually.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's just a tough break. And I think in that conference, that's going to really hurt because they don't really have anyone to replace him.
Well, yeah, and you really, I mean, I think what happens now really is Austin Freeman, Jason Clark, and Hollis Thomas have to just carry more of a load. And he had really been, I mean, as you mentioned, Chris Wright lately had been playing really, really mm-hmm. well, had really become the man as of late in some of their big wins. You know, lose a tough one to Cincinnati, who they have to play again in a few days. They have Syracuse, of course, coming up this weekend. And they've got some difficult games to finish. And then, of course, the Big East tournament is going to be, you know, a challenge as it is each and every year. I mean, so, it does, from a seeding standpoint, it'd be interesting to see how much this cost them. I thought they were a solid three going into the Cincinnati game. I'm not sure they've lost that yet, but it certainly makes it more challenging to finish off. And, you know, even if he comes back, you wonder, you know, how's he going to play? Is he going to be really one-handed, essentially?
Yeah, they say he might come back for the tournament. You never know with that team.
Sure.
I think they're trying to keep it under wraps because maybe they don't know for sure.
Right.
But I think it's even if it doesn't affect their seeding as much, I think it's going to really affect the way they play. I mean,
they
need, even though they run that Princeton offense, they need someone who can create off the dribble. And as good as Austin Freeman is, I don't think he can get into the lane and make things easier for people like Chris Wright can. Now, Wright doesn't do it all the time. He's a little erratic. But that's a dynamic they really need, and they're going to miss. And he's kind of the leader of the team. They all say he's their heart and soul. And I just think it's a real death blow.
Well, it was deflating on the floor the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, you could tell it affected the team, whether you want to admit that or not. It did. I mean, they just did not play as well. And, you know, when he came back and then he had to leave. I mean, I just think all that war on them was one of the reasons they did not play very well down the stretch against Cincinnati. But that aside, you're right. I mean, because you know how it is in the tournament. We always talk about experience, how important it is in the NCAAs, and a team that have a guy that could create his own shot, or, mm-hmm. you know, if all else fails, when the shot clock, when it's more of a, you know, a possession affair, you know, back and forth, it definitely changes their outlook. I think they go from a team you thought, hey, you know what, this isn't going to be last year. They're not going to lose in the first round to, you know, Ohio. This is a team that's going to, you know, possibly, you know, go to the Final Four. The worst case scenario, you probably felt good about them going to the Sweet 16, but suddenly you're like, I don't know what to expect, to be honest with you.
Now, it might be, you know, it might still go to the Sweet 16, because you remember last year, Purdue lost Robbie Hummel, and they still went to the Sweet 16. A lot of people buried them.
True.
And that was still a pretty talented team that went, I thought, that did go to and play Duke, obviously, in the Sweet 16. So I don't know if, like, it could overcome it. I just think that of all the players they could lose, I would have rather lost Freeman than Chris Wright. I think Wright's more important to them.
Lately he has been, but, you know, again, Freeman was, what, the Big East player of the year going into the season. He was the guy that everybody thought was going to, you know, really be the man in the conference. And I think to some degree he has, but not as consistently. I mean, Kemba Walker's got a lot of headlines, and heck, Marshawn Brooks lately has been showing up with a 52 the other night. So, I mean, look, lately Wright has been their best player, so there's no doubt this is going to hurt. It'll be interesting to see how they play without him and moving forward. At least they have a little bit of time, I guess, if there's any positive. It happened at a time where you have enough on your resume that you feel good about where you're going to be seeding wise, and yet you have enough games left where you can kind of develop a style of play, or a way you're going to play, a formula, if you will, going into the NCAA tournament.
But
so
then he might come back, and then you have to kind of scrap it again. And I just say that's the biggest thing. And Freeman's a better player, but I think they have more people that can replace, I guess, like maybe 80% of what he can do. I don't see anyone on this roster that can replace even 50% of what Chris Wright does.
Yeah, definitely blow to the Hoyas. There's no question about it with what happened there. But they are an NCAA tournament team. At the end of the day, they're still in a better position than, well, let's say Maryland, for example, who's still got to get, I think it has to win at North Carolina to even get really into the conversation and still need some things to break their way outside of obviously going to Greensboro in a couple weeks and winning the whole thing in the ACC tournament. But Maryland has been playing a lot better lately. There's no question about that.
That's true, and I think that the big reason is they've gone to their youth move. They finally put Terrell Stoglin in the starting lineup, and Pishon Howard joined him a little earlier than that. I've never been a huge fan of Stoglin's game, but, man, he's played so well recently, giving them one heck of a spark, and a lot of the guys that they had starting instead of him were kind of used to being complimentary players and never kind of grew out of that, and I think they need that dynamic player, even if he can be a little erratic sometimes. I wonder if Gary Williams' kind of loyalty to older players has kind of hurt the season, because you wonder if they put Stoglin in the lineup sooner, what happens in some of these ACC games that they lost.
Well, there's definitely that question, I mean, at this point about them. Had they been better off just letting the reins loose earlier and letting him go? And, you know, we've been talking about it from the beginning of the year. Jordan Williams just needs some help on the perimeter. I mean, you got to have somebody else to help Jordan Williams out because he's so good. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting question. And, you know, again, this team, is in this position where they're scrambling down the stretch to try to just get into the dance or get into the conversation in this case. You know, it's just kind of a pattern that they've been in for several seasons now, outside of last year where you had, Gravis Vasquez, you knew where your destiny was going to be. But I like the way they're playing right now. I'm just afraid it's a little bit too late at this point.
Yeah, and the other concerning thing is long-term. I mean, they haven't lost more than 9 ACC games in a while, but they're always in that, like, kind of so-so range, and I think it's tough to get excited about that. And I know that there weren't all that many fans at the Florida State game.
No.
Scott Van Pelt of ESPN, longtime Maryland alum, called them out. And then after the game, Gary Williams called them out.
Yeah, and called the newspaper out too.
The student newspaper,
which was interesting, saying that if you read the paper, you wouldn't, you'd be against us, which I thought was kind of strange. You don't see that. I don't know if that's a good thing to do, to be honest with you. I don't think getting on your fan base or in this case, on your student newspaper is a good way to go. Not to say that he's not the first coach to do it. I mean, Coach K does it all the time. He's got some, he's had some things going on. Seth Davis tells some famous stories about Coach K meeting with him when he was at the school. So, there's a
Jim
lot
Boeheim
of...
Jim too.
Yeah, there's a lot of these coaches that are these big personality coaches that are the programs, in a sense, that do these things. I just don't know in the case of Maryland, after what we just saw with what went through with football, when you saw the disenfranchisement of the fan base, that this is necessarily a good move.
I don't think it's a good move long term. I think Gary is thinking very kind of closed to he's not really thinking of the big picture here. What I think he's thinking is that the only way our team is going to get anywhere this year is if we kind of foster this us against the world mentality.
Sure. Exactly.
And then they maybe play inspired, because there aren't that many big time recruits, and that's just kind of that's a mentality you have to foster, But long term it's a very damaging thing to do to your fan base. Although you could also argue that if they're good again, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, if you win, they will come. I mean,
Yeah, but I agree, though. It's a bad thing to do for the long term. I think he's thinking a little bit too much about this year's team, which honestly, and barring, a miracle, I don't think they're really going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's such a bad year for college basketball that I wouldn't shut the door to them yet, although
I've been
banging the drum for that. I think they're more NIT than NCAA. I mean, here you just got this two-step coming up. You got to win at Carolina, which is not easy because they're playing really well suddenly, and you got to win at Miami, which is also, even though Miami's not a great team by any means, it's still not an easy place to play necessarily.
Yeah, Terps have never played well there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of distractions down there. And then, of course, you got Virginia at home, the wrap of the regular season. And then, they haven't had, let's face it, they haven't had a great history in the ACC tournament anyway. So
yeah, when's the last time they won a big road game?
That's a good question.
Because they're getting close. They almost beat Boston College. They were
played
right there with Virginia
Tech for a while. Yeah, yeah.
But
played
they
actually
come...
very well at Duke. I'd say the last time was whenever they won at Duke, which has been several years now. But
yeah,
that's been the big road game. But certainly not this season. at the same time, they played, you know, they had a game. They were in the game against Villanova as well. They've been in games on the road right. this year, just not have finished them off. I mean, I guess the closest thing to a big road win you would say was at Penn State, but that was back in December. So
right.
that's so far back. But, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this team needs to get one of those over-the-hump wins, and maybe Sunday night. I mean, Sunday night is clearly their opportunity to do it. Otherwise, it is an ACC tournament or bust scenario in order to get in the tournament. But I'm just not so sure that that was the best thing in the world this past week to get on the fans. Maybe it'll you know, they only have one more opportunity to show up. Hopefully that will matter for the Virginia game yet. As I've been talking about, and I wrote on the site for SB Nation DC last week, they're telling people tickets are available. There's commercials running on Comcast mm-hmm. Sportsnet all the time about tickets for Maryland basketball, which is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I think it was a really dangerous move by Gary. I think he was thinking too much inside his own team. You know, I just think it's so dangerous to talk like that to the fans, because that's a major problem with the university right now, like you said, you know, across all sports. And I wonder if Gary was just so heated in the moment that he wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah, or the fact that, you know what, he doesn't care because he's Gary
There's
Williams.
That, too.
You know, and I think that's really the core of it. He's just like, you know what, I've won a championship. Here's my school. Here's what I'm telling you. I've won this many games here. And, you know, and there is part of that. That's fine, but it is, you know how it is. It's a here and now sports world we live in, and memories are shorter. Heck, these kids that are at the school, you know, how old were they when you won a championship?
Right. I mean, none of these seniors.
They're
none
9
of these
years old.
Right.
You know,
none of these college, you know, you know, students were there when they were really that great. They were there for, I mean, Grievous Vasquez was wonderful.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like that's even he is just kind of, a lot of fans were fans because of him.
Yeah,
because
he's he had a gone personality.
Anymore. And he was a lot of fun. They don't, Jordan, they don't really have, I mean, they don't really have that anymore. I don't know. I think it's dangerous. I think he was just kind of very upset. Because they did just get a big road win, and there's nobody – big home win.
Sure.
There's nobody there, and he was probably just letting off some steam.
And then, again, a game backed up with nobody there, and you only have one home game left. At that point, you're about to hit the road. So maybe get your parting shot in, so to speak, before you do that. But it'll be interesting to see how they finish off the season. And, you know, again, some high hopes for what they have coming in next year. But the big question for me is, will Jordan Williams be back? You know, you got to go through all that in the offseason. And, of course, will there be an NBA to go to for him anyway? So maybe that works in Maryland's favor. Although we said the same thing about the NFL and then everybody left. So
right. Yeah.
You know, because guys still could get drafted.
It's, all right. It'll be interesting to see if Jordan Williams stays.
Yeah, that is a big.
Because if so, they have some cool pieces.
Oh, they got
next
a real nice team suddenly if he stays with Stoglin, what we've seen from him and what they supposedly have coming in if you buy into you know, all the recruiting buzz. So anyway, got to finish up, though, with a big weekend. Got to win at Carolina to even get into the NCAA conversation and our humble opinions. All right, coming up, we will get the opinion of Mike Jones, new Redskins reporter for the Washington Post. He is at the Indianapolis Combine. Guys running around in shorts at field day. It's important to a lot of people, and the NFL Network says 6 million of you watch it every year. So we'll get to that coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada. Follow us at SB Nation Radio on Twitter, and like us on SB Nation Fan Facebook page, too, here on 106.7 The Fan.